wale ulele uwale ule ulelei. Uwale ulele uwale ule ulelei.
Welcome to the Wild Mother Podcast for women who want to birth, mother, and live with pleasure, purpose, and power. The wisdom of Mother Nature is our guide as we dive deep into the subjects of physiologic birth, natural parenting, and conscious mothering. Join me, Dr. Jessica Hodgins, for evidence-based and soul-centered conversation with guest experts and real mamas just like you. Let's go. Well, welcome to episode 3 of the Wild Mother Podcast. Today I'm talking about something that I get pretty fired up about, and that's something that I've started to call physiologic parenting. So what I mean by that is a style of parenting that aligns with our children's evolutionary design or the design of their bodies. So if you've ever felt overwhelmed and confused by all the conflicting information about what your baby should be doing, so maybe you've been told they should be sleeping through the night or they should be able to self-soothe, or if you've ever felt a sense of shame or guilt for caring for your baby in a way that feels natural to you, then today's episode is for you. Because when we understand our baby's physiologic design, it suddenly becomes much clearer why they behave in the way they do. And it's incredibly freeing because we no longer have to work against nature and try to get our babies to do things that aren't physiologically appropriate for them. So we can start to work with nature, work with our babies, and know that when we're doing so, we're setting them up for lifelong health and well-being. Because the problem with all those shoulds is that they're based in cultural norms, not in physiologic norms. So in other words, our communities have come to have certain expectations of babies and young children that are completely out of alignment with how our little ones' bodies are designed. And unfortunately, this is even true of some of the advice you'll receive from gentle parenting or natural parenting circles. So what is our children's physiologic design? What kind of care do our little ones need to thrive? And how can we parent in a way that aligns with this? Well, get ready, mamas, because that's exactly what we're about to dive into. So in the first part of today's episode, we're going to learn 2 things that every parent needs to know about our children's physiologic design. And unfortunately, these things aren't common knowledge. And in the second part of the episode, I'm going to share 5 things that you can do to support that. By the way, if you want to check out any of the research or the resources that I mention in this episode, as always, you'll find all of that over at the accompanying blog post on my website, and the link to that is in the show notes. Oh, and one last thing before we get stuck in, mamas. If you're interested to learn about how to provide for your baby's toileting needs in a way that's aligned with their physiology, because spoiler alert, peeing and pooing in a toilet that's strapped to them isn't actually aligned with our baby's physiologic design, then you're going to love my free 5-day video series starting next week, Monday the 31st of May. It's called Get Started with Elimination Communication. You can join me on Instagram every day next week from 1 p.m. Sydney time for a bite-sized live training. And I've also got a free playbook ready for you with all the resources you'll need to get started with EC right away. So you can find that at jessicahodgins.com/EC. The link to that is also in the show notes. Okay, let's jump into it. So what is our baby's physiologic design? Well, humans evolved to live as hunter-gatherers. So although the world around us has changed rapidly in the last couple of thousand years, and especially in the last few hundred years, that's a tiny blip in the context of our 175,000 years of mammalian evolution. So this means that even though the world has changed dramatically, our bodies haven't changed. This goes for human adults as well as children. We still need exactly the same things to thrive, the same kinds of food, the same kinds of movement, the same kinds of social supports that our ancient ancestors needed. And our babies still need exactly the same things to grow and thrive that ancient cave babies needed. So we're going to dive into exactly what those things are in a moment, because infant humans are not the same physiologically as adult humans. They have unique needs. Now, without going into too much detail, don't worry, we're going to go into all of the detail in future episodes, but for now, there are just two things about the physiology of babies that you need to know. And unfortunately, these things really aren't widely known in our communities. The first is something called exogestation. Now, what on earth is exogestation? So what if I told you that a human pregnancy actually lasts not the 9 months that most people think, but around 18 months? When human babies are born, they're only about halfway through their gestation. So they'll continue to gestate outside the womb for a further 9 months, give or take. So gestation is considered complete when the baby can crawl away from their mama. And obviously that happens at slightly different ages for different babies. Now, we share this way of growing our babies with some other mammalian species like kangaroos. Kangaroos continue to gestate their joeys inside their pouch. So human babies are actually extremely developmentally immature compared to other mammals at birth. So for example, like newborn horses can run within hours of birth, whereas human babies aren't mobile for months after they're born. Now, why are human babies born so immature? Well, that relates to our unique physiologic design as humans. As our ancestors evolved to stand on two legs, our pelvises had to become smaller to accommodate that weight. And at the same time, our ancestors' brains were becoming bigger. And that meant that our young had to be born at an earlier stage of maturity before their brains became too big to pass through our narrower pelvises. So immaturity at birth is kind of a cost of our cleverness and our ability to walk around. But here's the important point about all this. Exogestation isn't just an interesting fact, it has very real implications for how our babies need to be parented. Because they're born at such an early stage in their development, they need particular things from their caregivers to continue to grow and develop outside the womb. They need us to mimic the experience of being inside the womb as much as possible during that time, especially during those first 9 months of life. Now that I've explained this idea of exogestation, are you starting to see how inappropriate the expectations are that we put on babies to do things like sleep through the night independently of their mamas? Okay, now the second thing we need to know about our baby's physiology is called the mother-baby dyad, and it's very much related to exogestation. So this is the fact that mothers and babies are dyads. And by that I mean they're two separate organisms that function best together. So even though your baby is in a different body to you, for all intents and purposes, they remain part of your body for at least the first 9 or so months of their life, and to a lesser but still significant extent, for the first 3 years of life. And this is because babies aren't able to regulate their physiology on their own. They rely on close physical proximity to their caregiver, usually their mother, to regulate their circulatory system, their respiratory system, their temperature, their nervous system, their brainwave patterns, their whole physiology. And babies know this. We are adults in a modern world and we get obsessed with this idea of independence. And we've kind of forgotten this fact of the mother-baby dyad. But babies know that they rely on physical proximity to their mamas for their very survival. And that's why they'll cry when you try to put them down. They're signaling that need to you. Okay, so where does that leave us as parents in a modern world mothering these little cave babies? So now we're going to jump into the practical part of the episode where I'm going to give you 5 things that you can do to support your baby's physiologic design. Are you ready? So 1, babies are designed to sleep next to their mothers. Sleeping in close physical proximity to their mamas supports our baby's physiology in a few ways. So first, as we've already talked about, babies rely on being physically close to their mama to be able to regulate their entire physiology. And research shows this, that infants who sleep next to their mamas have healthier respiration, healthier heart rate, better temperature and brainwave patterns, and reduced stress levels. They're also at lower risk of SIDS, because babies who sleep alone in a cot or crib are more likely to drop into too deep a level of sleep that they're unable to rouse themselves from. Now, co-sleeping's good for mamas too. Mamas who co-sleep with their babies get more sleep overall. That's unsurprising because co-sleeping mamas don't have to get out of bed at every single wake up. And co-sleeping also supports breastfeeding. So mamas who co-sleep with their babies are more likely to exclusively breastfeed for longer than mothers who don't co-sleep. Now, of course, when I talk about co-sleeping, I'm talking about safe co-sleeping. And it's important to be aware of the factors that can make co-sleeping unsafe. So, for example, our ancestors didn't evolve to sleep with soft pillows and lots of blankets. So we as modern humans need to take extra precautions to keep our modern babies safe while co-sleeping. And there's a really great resource that I'm going to link to in the show notes. It's called the Safe Sleep 7. And if you're interested in co-sleeping with your baby, definitely go and have a read of that first so that you can think about all of the factors that need to be in place to make co-sleeping as safe as possible for your baby. Okay, so that was tip number one. Babies are designed to sleep next to their mamas. So let's go on to tip number two. Babies are designed to be worn or held by their caregivers. So for all the same reasons that they're designed to co-sleep next to their mamas, young infants are also designed to be mostly worn or carried by their caregivers. So in hunter-gatherer societies, babies spend a lot of time attached to their mother or another caregiver by a fabric baby wrap. Now, for our ancestors, this made sense in terms of both safety and practicality. So babies attached to their mamas were kept safe from predators, and then mama was also able to go about her daily work, so it just makes sense. But baby wearing also offers benefits beyond just safety and convenience. So as we've already talked about, the close physical proximity to their caregiver that baby wearing allows helps babies to regulate their physiology. It also allows for easy skin-to-skin contact between mama and baby, and that promotes the release of oxytocin. That's the hormone of love. And higher levels of oxytocin in both mother and baby mean reduced stress, reduced fussiness, increased feelings of love and happiness, and increased bonding. And the research bears this out. So there was one study that found that mamas who used a baby carrier were more responsive to their infants at 3.5 months, and their babies were more securely attached to their mothers at 13 months than mothers who didn't use a baby carrier. So there's tip number two. Babies are designed to be worn or held by their caregivers. Tip number three. Babies are designed to feed from the breast. Now, this is already a long podcast episode, and breastfeeding is a huge subject. You probably already know a lot about it. So in this episode, I'm going to limit myself to just one sentence on this particular aspect of physiologic parenting. Breastfeeding doesn't just meet our baby's nutritional needs. It also supports them with everything from the development of their immune systems to the regulation of their nervous systems to the physical development of their mouths and skulls. Did I do it? I said it in one sentence. Okay, tip number four, babies are designed for responsive caregiving. So what does that mean? Our babies are hardwired for connection. They literally grow their brains through their interactions with us, their caregivers. So the basic architecture of your baby's brain is built through experiences. And one of the most important experiences for brain development is the social interaction between children and their caregivers. So what this means is that when you spend time with your baby gazing and smiling and playing and laughing, you're not just having a sweet, fun moment with your baby, you are doing that, but you're also literally building neural pathways that optimally wire your baby's brain. So keep having those sweet, fun times with your baby. We also know that empathetic, responsive parenting is essential for building a healthy, secure attachment in your child. So a child with a secure attachment has learnt to trust that their caregiver will be consistently available and responsive to their needs. Now, all children have an attachment to their caregiver. I'm talking specifically about a secure attachment, and that means that this child has learnt to trust that you will consistently be available and responsive to them. And this secure attachment is hugely important for our little one's lifelong well-being. It does a few things. It provides them with a sense of safety and security. It helps them to regulate their emotions, and it offers a secure base from which they can explore the world. It's also protective against long-term psychological and physical health problems. So we know that children with insecure attachments are more likely to develop issues like that later in life than children with secure attachments. So how do you build a secure attachment with your child? It's pretty straightforward. You do it by responding to their needs. When they signal a need to you, you respond to them. Are you starting to see when I talk about this how things like sleep training and the cry it out approach are damaging to our children's brains? Children need empathetic, responsive parenting to literally grow their brains and set them up for long-term health and well-being. Okay, so that was point four. Babies are designed for responsive caregiving. Now, I'm excited to tell you about point five because every time I talk to mamas about this, the reaction is like huge. So point five, babies are designed to pee and poo in a receptacle that isn't attached to them. Now, this last one might surprise you. What I'm saying is that nappies or diapers aren't actually aligned with our baby's physiologic design. Our physiologic norm as humans and the healthiest ideal is for babies to wee and poo in a receptacle that isn't attached to them and to learn essential lifelong skills about personal hygiene from as soon as they're capable. So when are they capable? Contrary to popular belief, babies are capable of controlling their sphincters from birth. They're capable of knowing when they need to wee and poo, and they're capable of communicating this to their caregiver, just as they're capable of communicating all their other needs like hunger or tiredness. In fact, like all animals, babies have a strong instinct not to wee or poo on themselves or their caregivers. This is a survival instinct to protect themselves and their communities from disease. It just makes sense, right? Think of any other infant animal that urinates and defecates on themselves and their caregiver. It doesn't happen. Why would it happen in humans? And what's more, babies prefer not to soil themselves. Now, if that seems weird to you when I say that, first, remember that babies are sentient and conscious. Yeah, they're adorable little lumps, but they're thinking little lumps. They mightn't have the language to express thoughts, but they're aware of what's happening to them. And then think about how you would prefer to eliminate if you suddenly couldn't speak or move your own body. Imagine that you had a stroke and you were suddenly unable to talk or move. Would you prefer to have someone deliberately let you soil yourself? Or would you prefer to have someone try to learn your ways of communicating your need to eliminate and then to help you to do it in a hygienic place? Which of those things would feel more respectful and honoring of you as a person? Now, if you haven't heard of this thing called elimination communication, or EC for short, I can't wait to share all about this beautiful practice with you. It's something that I've done with my own little boy, and every time I talk about it, people flip out. They're like really interested in it and really want to learn. And I always get a million questions. So that's why I've listened to that response. And that's why I've created this 5-day video series that I'm going to run next week. So starting Monday, the 31st of May. And it's called Get Started with Elimination Communication. My goal is to make the whole thing just easy to understand and easy to get started with right away with your bub. I just want to take all the mystery and the confusion out of it. So if you're interested in learning about elimination communication, here's how it's going to work. So each day next week at 1 p.m. Sydney time, I'm going to jump on Instagram Live to give you like a quick bite-sized training with just easy actionable steps that you can take to get started with EC right away. Now, I know many of you are in different time zones, so don't stress if that's you. You can always watch the lives later. And I've also got a free workbook to help you out so that you don't need to worry about taking notes or anything during that. And there's a few little resources in that that will help you get started. So you can find that at jessicahodgins.com/EC. And I'll link to that in the show notes as well. Okay, so I know I've covered a lot of information in this episode, so let's just recap the stuff that we've covered today. So physiologic parenting is an approach to parenting that's aligned with our children's physiologic design. So we can look to our little one's physiology to understand their needs and to cut through the incorrect and often damaging information that gets thrown our way as mamas. When we understand exogestation and the mother-baby dyad, it suddenly becomes so much clearer why our babies behave in the way they do. And it's incredibly freeing because we no longer have to work against nature and try to get our babies to do things that aren't physiologically appropriate for them. We can work with nature. We can work with our babies and know that when we're doing that, we're actually setting them up for lifelong health and well-being. So we don't have to feel guilty for parenting in a way that feels natural and good. And what were those five things again that we can do as parents to support our little one's physiology? Let's run through them once more. One, babies are designed to sleep next to their mothers. Now, I know this goes against a lot of popular opinion, so I've got way more information on this over on the blog post if you want to go and have a look. And definitely do find out about the Safe Sleep 7 if you want to co-sleep with your baby. Number two, babies are designed to be worn or held by their caregivers. So if your baby cries every time you put them down, excellent, you've got a normal, healthy baby. And they're not doing anything wrong and you don't need to do anything different. Number three, babies are designed to feed from the breast. Number four, babies are designed for responsive caregiving. And every time you respond to your baby, no, you're not spoiling them. You are literally growing their brain. And number five, my favorite one, babies are designed to wee and poo in a receptacle that isn't attached to them. And you can get your workbook all about that at jessicahodgins.com/EC and then head over to Instagram next week, starting Monday the 31st of May for a free training every day at 1 p.m. Sydney time. Okay, that's it from me this week, mamas. I hope this episode has been helpful for you. If you know another mama or a mama-to-be who'd benefit from hearing this information, please do share it with them. And by the way, if you're enjoying the podcast, it seriously makes such a huge difference if you head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. So I didn't even realize how much of a difference this makes until last week. The podcast was actually featured by Apple as a new show in the parenting category, and that helps other mamas just like you to find it. And the only reason it was featured, I'm sure, is because a few beautiful listeners already left amazing reviews over in Apple Podcasts. So if you've got the 2 minutes that it takes to leave a review and you've enjoyed the podcast so far, I'd seriously appreciate it so much if you did go over and do that, because it allows this information to reach a wider audience. Okay, until next time, mamas. Thanks for listening to the Wild Mother Podcast. I'm living and mothering on the unceded country of Dharawal people, and I gratefully acknowledge their ongoing work and the work of Indigenous people everywhere in the service of thriving life on Earth. Stay wild, mamas.